It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We get a weekend off from LSU football, but man, the buildup is going to be big, and they'll have game day will be in Baton Rouge, so you know it's going to be hyped up next Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and yeah, it's odd to have two bye weeks in a given season. Not complaining, but yeah, it's interesting coming off the disappointing performance last week on the road. You know, suffering the second loss of the season, first in the SEC, and you know, again, everything's still out there in front of you, and now you've got to match up with two teams with two losses. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, the loser next Saturday night is done as far as all the big goals on the table. So, you know, it's interesting. You get to a 12-team playoff, and you think, wow, you just try to finish in the top 12. And, again, when you're in the SEC, that's much, much easier said than done, as we're finding out with, you know, a number of teams outside of Texas A&M at this moment.
You know, Chris, you got a big enough sample size doing LSU football. And I don't know, since you've been doing it, and I've watched LSU football a long time. Boy, a good thing that I don't bet or something, I thought, like, the way that game started, there ain't no way in hell LSU's losing. Now, we didn't maybe
they'd
take
have kept the quarterback, Connor Wigman.
Right.
Connor Wigman in there, yeah.
But I'm thinking how LSU seemed like they were so much in control until they were not in control. That was disappointing considering how that game swung.
Oh, 100%. You know, we got to halftime and walked out into the main press area, and there were two major topics, guys. One was, let's hope Connor Wigman continues to throw on first down. And number two, it's hard to believe we're only leading by 10 points. I mean, it felt like it was a much more dominant first half by LSU. And to your point, Bobby, I mean, everything was still riding high until the 8-minute mark in the third quarter. And when it turned on a dime. And, you know, it reminded me a lot, and I've said this a lot this past week, it reminded me of the Ole Miss-LSU game at Tiger Stadium. You know, if you watch the first half, you kind of feel like, wow, how is Ole Miss barely leading in this game? They've driven up and down the field. They've had opportunities inside the red zone. And credit to LSU's defense, of course. But that's kind of the way it felt last week is, you know, it just looked like they had taken the crowd out there in the early part of the second quarter, had some chances, had some botched field goal operations, not to mention, you know, drive stalling, you know, inside the Texas A&M 30. And you're like, it feels like LSU should be up by two touchdowns or more. And, you know, when that 8-minute mark hit and you throw that interception, you set them up at the 8-yard line, Marcel Reed comes in, changes gears, gets in on one play, and then it's suddenly a 3-point ball game. And then the crowd gets back into it. And, I mean, again, it was just very reminiscent of what happened at Tiger Stadium a few weeks early. And it goes to show you, and you guys know better than anybody, I mean, it's a game of momentum. And when you get a chance to put your foot on the pedal, you better put it on there and not let up. And unfortunately, it didn't happen for LSU.
Chris.
No, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Chris, I was telling this to Bob. I watched a lot of guys in the SEC and across the country. But the impact of Ryan Williams at Alabama, you see him and you say, what? He's 18 years old? And look all the game-changing plays he's made so far this year. I told Bob, you know, I'm old enough. I remember the young Lynn Swan, the one that played at USC, and the guy that played with the Steelers, that he comes up with some of the best acrobatic catches that I've seen from an 18-year-old. And he belongs, because a lot of times you get an 18-year-old guy in there, freshman season, they're a little bit of a fish out of the water. But in watching him, my thing is, you might beat me another way, and you, Milroe might run the football for 200 yards, but I'm not letting you throw the football to Ryan Williams. I would do what I can to make sure he's not the guy that's going to beat me on offense for Alabama.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's the Ryan Williams, from what I've seen this year, he's got two things that, again, just not a lot of people have at his age. Number one, he's got an incredible skill set. But secondly, he's got that confidence. Like, he came in as a freshman in the SEC playing for Alabama saying, you know, I should be here. I should be in the starting lineup. And they should be throwing me the football, you know, 12 times a game. I mean, he has that type of confidence. And, again, that's a unique factor. I mean, you get a ton of guys who come in at the SEC level that certainly had great careers in high school. But you got to believe there's a little bit of, you know, letting the game speed catch up a little bit, building that confidence. I mean, he just burst onto the scene with confidence, and he's certainly going to be one that they're working on this week on trying to keep the ball out of his hands. And I think for Jalen Milroe, you know, the key has got to be a lot of what LSU, I think, did against Jackson Dart, especially in the second half, what they did against Taylen Green in Arkansas, and what they basically did to Connor Wegman in the first half at Texas A&M, and that is just get them under pressure, get them disrupted, get them off schedule. And again, that's, you can make Jalen Milroe make mistakes if you get pressure. If he's got all day to make his decision on whether he wants to run or whether he wants to find an open receiver, that's when Alabama's at their best. And again, I think, you know, trying to limit what Ryan Williams can do is going to start with how you defend Jalen Milroe in the pocket.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Chris, looking on LSU's passing game, all I know is never a winning formula. And, you know, Nussmeier, much is given, much is required, but you don't want him throwing the ball 50 times a game. I don't know, can you get some kind of resemblance of a rushing attack, which LSU is... Yeah. I mean, just help him out. I mean, he threw three interceptions, but he threw for 405 yards. But I think at times, I played that position. He's not Superman. But can we run the ball a little bit to keep defense off balance? Because I think, Coach Kelly said this, we got to help out Nussmeier. We got the right quarterback, but we can't be one-dimensional, even though we do have great weapons on the outside. And having Nussmeier all of a sudden be efficient and highly efficient throughout the whole game, because then if you throw in 45, 50 times, you will make mistakes most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, Irk Russell, who was the defensive coordinator for Vince Dooley in that national championship at Georgia, and then he went on to found the program at Georgia Southern. I mean, he used to say, when you throw the ball, three things can happen, and two of them ain't good. And, you know, when you do the math and you're throwing it 50 or 51 times, I mean, you know, that's actually not a bad ratio if you get three interceptions when you're having to throw 51 times in a game. So that is not the formula. As good as Garrett has been and as good as he is, that's asking too much. And as you said, Coach Kelly was quick to point that out following the game. And the running game just has not been able to deliver, and it certainly has not been consistent. There's been flashes, and I certainly have a lot of respect and a lot of faith in the running backs that LSU has. But, you know, listening to the coaches, and you've heard them say it, it's not just the running backs, and it's not just the offensive line. I mean, it's got to be a combination of all 11 on the field. And for whatever reason, you know, the left side of the offensive line, you know, struggled against Texas A&M. And basically they decided, we're going to get Garrett out and sprint and run to the right, which, again, he's been very good in that situation. But it became so one-dimensional that on the second interception, the defender for Texas A&M, who got his second interception, said, I'm not even worried about where the receiver is. I know where the ball's going. And when it gets to be that easy, you're in big trouble. And I think that was what plagued LSU against Texas A&M. And goodness knows, I mean, there's enough. When you're throwing it 51 times again, you're going to show some of your tendencies and some of the plays and the formations you want to be in to help your quarterback be successful. And when you've done that multiple games on the year, that's a ton of film for good coaches like they have at Alabama to certainly see your tendencies. And that's what you're trying to avoid. And to your point, a running game could certainly help. I'd like to see LSU try to get the run game outside a little bit. It seems to me we've tried enough between tackles, and for whatever reason, bad run blocking, inability to break tackles at the line of scrimmage, whatever the case may be, I like a guy with world-class track speed like Caden Durham. I know this LSU fans have heard it before. I wouldn't mind a little toss sweep, you know, get him in action. If you're going to run out of a shotgun, get him moving at the snap, give him a toss, let him get outside and see if he can make a guy miss. Because we've seen once he gets free, he's very hard to bring down, very hard to get to. But they've got to find something. Now, Coach Kelly has said multiple times that they are working. Everything's on the table. Every type of play, every type of formation to try to get the running game going. So we'll see if they've been able to come up with something last week and this week coming to get ready for Alabama. Because the teams in the SEC, the defenses for everybody, too talented, too fast, too big, that if you're just going to run two or three different, you know, run plays, they're going to be able to stop it. So I think they've got to get a little more variety in how they try to run the ball.
You know, Chris, and I think LSU kind of like, you know, everyone has a slogan, or at one time we were DBU, then it turned into DB Poo, but then now we wide receiver you. I mean, you look at Lacy, you look where he's at, but you know the one who needs to step up? Because I think, I don't know how tough he is. Now, I don't know, I'm not judging him, but senior wide receiver Chris Hilton, he returned from an ankle injury. We know he's highly skilled. I mean, he was out like seven contests. And here he is. He finished the night with two catches on five targets. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, can you make contested catches? Look at his size. And, you know, it's like, well, maybe him and Nussmeier went on the same page all night. I think it's more like Nussmeier put the ball there. How about you leap at the right time on the first one? And on the second one, how about you keep running? So I think Chris Hilton, the scouts look at this. They're going to look at how he progresses now that he's playing with Nussmeier as the coach, because they need him to come up big, because I think he has that skill set.
The best ability is availability.
Yeah, and then take advantage of that opportunity.
And then make plays when you get a shot.
No, I think you're 100% right. I mean, he had not played since the bowl game, you know, on New Year's Day. So, you know, I was happy to see him out there. But I think all of us were questioning whether or not, you know, he was really back to game speed, you know, going to have a little bit of rust there. And I kind of thought they'd take a couple of shots because he is their biggest over-the-top threat, and they certainly did. And as you said, there were times where the throws were off. There were times when the route was run wrong. They just weren't quite on the same page. So, you know, I think he still is a weapon. I think he can be a huge factor. But I also think, you know, not having C.J. Daniels at 100%, I mean, to me, in this vaunted passing attack, guys, C.J. Daniels and Aaron Anderson, to me, are the keys in this, because Tyron Lacy's going to make his plays, and everybody knows that. And he's a guy that Garrett certainly trusts. But, you know, if they're going to try to bracket coverage or try to take away Tyron Lacy, the way that C.J. Daniels, he's such a possession receiver. He's got such good hands. He knows where to come back to the football. And Aaron Anderson, I think, has been, based on what we saw last year, I mean, he superseded what we thought he would do in his second year at LSU, and he's a big factor as well. But, you know, again, I think Hilton can be a huge difference maker. They probably went to that well a few too many times, but I think some of that was because Texas A&M didn't have to respect anything across the middle of the field, and that was a big loss with C.J. Daniels not in there, because he's something to, you know, as I said, a possession receiver. You need 6 to 8 yards. C.J. Daniels is your guy. He's got sure hands, and he can make guys miss because of his size. But they didn't have that there, so when they went up top, you know, Texas A&M almost looked like they knew when they were going to do it.
Now, Chris, this one thing under Coach Kelly, you know, you always want to be efficient or highly efficient in all phases, offense, defense, and special teams. I don't know. It seems like we always have some kind of special teams debacle. I mean, I don't know. That has to be driving Coach Kelly crazy. Now, suddenly we got to figure out, can we snap the ball and hold the ball successfully, whether it's a PAT or a field goal attempt? Now, we had three bad ones. We look like, that we don't know what we're doing. Like, whether you're snapping it wrong or we don't get the hold right or the kick. Because, come on, that can come back to bite you, especially if the game's on the line, a game-winning kick or not, or if you have three opportunities, that's 9 points right there. That's one thing that's been driving Coach Kelly crazy. And special teams, it seems like it's always something. And hopefully that changes, because that could be whether you win or lose the game against Alabama.
Well, that certainly is the conundrum. That operation had been fairly smooth, in fact, really smooth, for all season long until we got to game number 8. And for whatever reason, Slade Roy has been automatic with his snaps, and Peyton Todd has done a really good job of placing the kick down or placing the ball down. And Ramos, again, had, he's closing in on a record for straight PAT conversion. So it's been a strong part. In fact, special teams this year had been a welcome relief with Xavion Thomas handling punts and kickoffs. There hasn't been a lot of snafus there. The young kicker from Bossier City, Aaron Burrell has been, he's just been a factor, not allowing any returns on kickoffs. So, yeah, I'm sure that is frustrating, but it almost seemed like, and again, maybe it was just an apparition, that those troubles had gotten behind LSU. These guys can do and perform much better than they did on the road at Texas A&M. And, I'm going to, at this point, guys, call that an anomaly, whether it was the crowd, I don't know what it was. But I think they'll be able to fix that operation fairly quickly, because it had been consistent up until the last time out. But you're right. Look at some of the games between LSU and Alabama when you had so much on the line that every single point matters. Every point after matters. Obviously, every two-point conversion, as we saw in 2022, matters, and every field goal opportunity. And to your point, against Texas A&M, you're talking about going up by 16 points possibly over Texas A&M on the road if you're able to get those first two field goals down.
Well, Chris, it seemed like the crowd affected it. Like, when you mentioned the crowd, to me now that won't be the problem in Tiger Stadium.
No, Alabama's got that issue.
But to me, the crowd did come into play with the communication, whatever, whether that's fair or not. But I'm sure they're aware of that going forward.
Well, I have, talked to Coach Kelly about it, because it seems to me, from my vantage point, in a couple of games where there's too much check with me, there's too much changing the play, you're asking the offensive line to stay down in a stance for 26 seconds. Again, I know there's times where you got to check down. The defense shows you something, you motion a receiver and they move or don't move. You get an idea of whether you can check to a run. I get all that. But again, with the communication now in the helmets, you've got plenty of time to decide the play. And then if you get a look you're not comfortable with, make that change. But there's been a couple of games this year where, Garrett's stepping up to the offensive line out of the shotgun with 8 seconds on the play clock, and you've had to burn a timeout, or you've suffered a false start, or you've suffered a delay of game. And to me, in that Ole Miss game, there's a small sequence in the third quarter where LSU went a little tempo. They kind of got back in the game, they got a lead, and then suddenly they had Ole Miss on their heels. And I thought that Garrett, the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers, everybody looked like they were much better in a tempo. And I'm not talking snapping every 22 seconds, but I think this offense gets a little belabored when you're taking, 30 seconds to decide what you're going to do and then take the snap. So, again, I thought the crowd affected them at Texas A&M, but it was because they took so long to decide to snap the football. I think this is a talented offense. I think they've got a talented offensive line. Let's pick the play. Let's get up. Let's line it up, and let's snap it, and let's go.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know it's supposed to be a day off for you, but, man, we appreciate you coming on with us today. And, have a great call. Hopefully it's a W call
and
Saturday night in Tiger Stadium.
Chris, I know you probably got an opinion on this. Well, Coach Franklin and Penn State, Coach Penn State cannot, they can't win that big one.
They can't jump the ditch.
Right, they can't win that big one, it seems like.
It's amazing. College football, I was talking to my son earlier today. We were watching the Miami-Duke game, and I thought, this is crazy. Ole Miss is wearing out Arkansas, which, again, it's still crazy. Kentucky whipped up and beat Ole Miss, but then you see Penn State and Ohio State, and you're like, how do they not pull this off? So I guess as much as things are different, a lot of things remain the same.
That's right. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, buddy. Really appreciate it.
All right, Chris.
You guys. Appreciate you.
All righty. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. We'll be back. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelia live from the brand-new Rouses in Biloxi, 2384 Pass Road. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J. and I will be on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.